All right. So every year we do Summer at Trailhead, and usually I try to pick some type of a fun topic of some sort. It's hard for me to top a few years ago my favorite summer because I preached on the book of Kings 1 and 2. And ever since then, I've fallen in a deep love for these two books. And I would encourage you all to just go into the book of Kings anytime you get a chance. There's so many nuggets, gold nuggets, as you dig through there, and you'll discover some really great moments with God. And so, unfortunately, no, I'm not talking about Kings today. But all of that lead up to that. But what I am talking about is something I am truly passionate about, and I think I'm going to change, and my prayer is change your perspective of the Ten Commandments. Now, see, a lot of people are like, you're going to talk all summer long on the Ten Commandments? Yes, I am. See, some of you think, you're like, the Ten Commandments? There's 10 of them. I'm like, right, yeah. So each week, there's one commandment we're going to talk about. And I'm really pumped about it because I think it's really going to help you, because too often we look at this as a list. We look at it as a list, and some of you are like, oh gosh, when we get to thou shalt not kill, that's going to be a real easy one, Pastor Josh. Like, that's a five-minute message. Is it? We'll find out. But I really believe with my whole heart that too often we look at this and we just dismiss it as a list. We look at it as a set of rules, and we don't really see what it's truly about. And that's what I want to change that perspective on this morning. So if you look at the Bible, you'll see that Jewish tradition holds that there's 613 laws found in the Torah. Now, they're really all summed up in the Ten Commandments. That's what's kind of unique about the Ten Commandments. Now, the other thing about the Ten Commandments, a lot of people, Christians in this house, you would think that, well, the Ten Commandments doesn't really, they're not required for salvation. Now, let me help you out here. Jesus called people to an even higher standard by obeying the commandments, not only in their actions, but also in their hearts. So Jesus was really coming to combat against that settling of these are just commandments, and that's what it is. And he actually challenged the people to realize this was a heart issue, and this is what it was all about. And that's what we're really going to dissect today, is the heart of the matter. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the Ten Commandments are a list. They're more than a list. There's more to it. You can find the list of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 26, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 22. Now, that's where you find the list of the Ten Commandments, the accepted list of the Ten Commandments. There are multiple different times that you'll see that they will list out the Ten Commandments, and then they'll throw in a couple laws involved in it. So a lot of people get confused. They'll think that that's the list of the Ten Commandments plus a few others. So as you read the scriptures and you would discover that, don't get confused. The two places to find the Ten Commandments is Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, what's beautiful about the Ten Commandments, and if you really stop, take a deep breath, and read them, you'll say, wow, these Ten Commandments express foundational moral principles that transcend time, place, and culture. That's what's so unique about them, that they're not stuck to just one group of people. They're not stuck in the past. They transcend time. It's something that it transcends culture. I think for all of us, you'd think, oh, that's just the way it was back then, and that's not true. So when we think of the Ten Commandments, as I mentioned earlier, we look at it as a list of rules. But guess what? The truth is that God designed the Ten Commandments as a way for us to have a relationship with him. They aren't rules. They're not. They're principles for living, and those principles enhance our relationship with God and people. So for us, you have to determine the depth of your relationship with God. It's depending upon you. So this morning, today is a new day. It's a new day. It's a new, refreshing day. Yesterday is gone. You can't change it. So right now, you have to make the choice to how deep you want to go with God. Every single day, you get that choice. Every single day is a new day. And when you wake up, you choose the depth you want to go with God. How far do you want to go? Do you want to deepen that relationship? Yes or no? Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, it's not a set of rules. It's not just a list. It's a relationship. It's a depth. Now, on your own time, I would love for you to read Exodus chapter 20. I'd love for you to read Deuteronomy chapter 5 on your own. I'm not going to go through it today. Now, what I do want to read is Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. So here we go. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Boy, that's everything, right? He encompassed it all. Everywhere you go, everyone you talk to, your children, all the generations continue to talk to about these commands. Why? Now again, some of us in our teachings of maybe Sunday school, you've been taught the Ten Commandments, you think of them as a list. So therefore, it's weird to think, am I memorizing a list, like a set of rules? Is that what Moses is telling the people to do? Memorize the rules? No. He's talking about a relationship. That when you talk about these principles, not rules, you're actually teaching people a relationship with God. And I love this word. I think it's something that we lose the value of it, but a dependency on him. We're dependent on him. Like, it's not a me factor. Last night, I made a mistake. Last night, I had my doors off of my Jeep, and my wife were driving. That was me waving at you violently the other day, as Jeep lovers. So I'm riding down. And she hates it when I have the family in the car and we're riding down the interstate with the doors off. She's like, don't do this, right? And by accident, I got on the interstate. And I said, oh, no, we're going to the interstate. And she just gives me that look. Like, I go, I know. I'll get off at the one exit I can get off of so we're not on the interstate with the doors off and all that good stuff. And so we're going. And then we get off and everything's fine. And then we get close to the house and I looked at her and I go, look, I brought you home safely. Those were my words. Look, I did it. We're home safely. Now, thank God that my Christian, God-fearing wife didn't look at me and go, you didn't do it. She had every right to, but she didn't do it. She didn't correct me. But I thought about it. The minute I said, I declare that I brought us home. But I didn't. God did. Because what did we go to? I saw my wife. The minute I said interstate, she immediately she had a hat on, and she just did this. She began to pray. See, for some of us, we get too prideful, and we don't realize the dependency that we need to have on him, that he does these things, that we move, breathe, walk because of him. It's through him and only him that we have purpose. So when you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses isn't just saying these things to be like, Israel, listen, you know, hey, you know, you commit yourselves. No, he's saying it with like full devotion. Commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands every single day. Repeat them again and again and again. Why is that important? Because there are so many obstacles in our life that try to steal the joy of God, to steal that relationship, to steal that purpose that God has for you. So many different things. So many different things. So my encouragement this week, again, on your own time, I want you to read the Ten Commandments, but instead of just reading the Ten Commandments as a list, you should read them in full context so that you can fully understand. Begin to read between the lines of what God's saying about each command. It's going to help you for this whole summer teaching, okay? Now, I want to talk about the first commandment. All right. Now, this is wonderful. Man, I tell you, you read the Bible, and you hear this story all the time. You read the Bible, and you're like, I've never read that before. And you're like, how did I never read this before? How have I never seen this like this before? And when I read this, I thought, my goodness, I'm blind to seeing this, okay? But I'm super thrilled to bring it to your awareness as well. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You should have no other gods before me. Now I want to read this. This is fantastic. Maybe I'm overselling this. I don't know. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, 18 through 21. Now we just got in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1. Starting in verses 1 down, you got the Ten Commandments. Now here's the deal. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. Mind-blowing moment right now. Mind-blowing. Get ready. Mind-blowing moment. When the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die." "Don't be afraid," Moses answered them, "for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning." As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. I know, right? Mind-blowing for me. Here's why. Not in one moment in this verse did it say, "You people, stay there." Not in one moment in this verse did it say, "Only Moses." Not in one moment in that entire verse did it say, "You can't go over there." But what did the people do? "We can't go over there." They determined their relationship with God. God didn't determine it with them. They determined it with him. This happens every Sunday. Happens every Sunday. "Pastor, you read the Bible and I'll listen. You tell me my relationship with God." See, pastors get a bad rep. We get this idea that we're this big talking head and we are the ones who deliver the message to the people. It's not true. My interpretation of the Bible is to come alongside what you're already hearing from God. My reading of the Bible is to help you and to teach you, for you to look at the Bible and say, "Whoa, I want more of this." I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to serve you. All right? I'm not here to mow your grass, though. All right? I'm not here to mow your grass. I'm here to serve you, and I will help you spiritually to the best of my capabilities. Will I fail you? Absolutely. Why? Because I'm a man, all right? We're human. We're going to make some mistakes in life. So you definitely can't place a pastor on a pedestal. It doesn't mean that you disrespect them. It doesn't mean that you dishonor them. You still honor and respect pastors, all right? You still honor and respect the fivefold ministry. You still walk in a way to say, "I want not the familiarity, because familiarity breeds contempt. I want to have a relationship with a pastor where the pastor wants to teach and wants to see me grow." That's it. That's all there is with my position. Why am I telling you this? Because I want the lie that's been told to you that you're supposed to just watch, that you're supposed to just sit there and listen. That's a lie. You need to open up the Bible. You need to be excited. This is really how it works. Let me give you an illustration. Ryan, come here. Yeah, I'm doing it, Ryan. Okay, guys, this is Ryan. He's a good man. Hey, Ryan, will you do me a favor? I would like for you to do some push-ups. Yeah, I know, Ryan. I know you're sitting here thinking, why not Ethan? Why not Terrence? Because I always use them, Ryan. So, Ryan, just do what you can, okay? Just do some push-ups. Now, as we watch Ryan do some push-ups, I'm getting stronger. Hey.
Hey, how you guys
doing? Hey, this is Pastor Adam. Everyone say, hey, Pastor Adam.
Is something going on here?
Yeah, we're getting stronger.
You is?
Yeah.
Good for him.
I know.
Good for him. I'll go for him. You want to do that?
Yeah.
No more.
Wow.
That's a good job.
Man, keep going. I'm getting so strong right now.
Get lower.
Lower. Get lower. I need you to work this area right here for me. Oh, man, he just quit. Wow. Ryan, why would you want to quit, though? Why? Because you got tired, right? You got tired. That's a given.
I'm fine.
Did we help or hurt you right now? I don't think we helped, did we? No. You want a donut?
I got an apple fritter. It's like a fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Adam, I love you. Hey, guys, give it up for Ryan. Guys, I got to tell you, what just happened right here is no different than a Sunday morning. You can't get strong watching me read the Bible. All right? You can't just sit there and be like, oh man, I'm getting so smart. No, I went to college. I retained 15% of the knowledge of 5 years in college. 5 years in college, and I only retained 15%, and I would actually, I don't believe I did that much. I would argue that much. I was a socialite. I was like, let's go. Where are we going? What road trip are we doing? Where are we going? I was up till 4 a.m. I was cramming in tests 30 minutes before the test started. Guys, it's not realistic. We're not going to watch somebody grow spiritually and then expect that we could do the same by just watching somebody, all right? And then what happens is you have a guy like Adam who comes in like a jerk offering you a donut, right? Hindering you even further back. Some of you know me. That was good, wasn't it? I had a donut. I had it in my hand, and I put it back in the box. I haven't had a donut since last August. I'm staying away from them because I know that's my thing. If I took a bite of that, it'd be downhill. I would have eaten the fritter and everything else in that box. But just like sin, someone comes in and says, hey, you're going to church? Yeah. Hey, after church, you and me, we do our thing. We go what we want to do. We go where we want to go. And what happens is it hinders you. It keeps you from actually growing. God wants you to enter into this relationship and that you begin to read his word, that you begin to fellowship with him. That's why he says, you can have no other gods but me. I'm it. I'm the best. I'm the only it. So for some of you in this room, you need to wake up and realize that the mantle that Jesus dropped, it dropped on all of us in this room. It wasn't just an Elisha moment. It was a church-wide moment. The mantle fell on all of us in this room, a responsibility to pick up the mantle that he laid down before us for us to be able to say, and I want to do the things of God. I want to follow in his footsteps. I want everything he has for me. Because here's the difference. Psalm 103, verse 7 really reveals this well. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Let me read it again. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. See, the children of Israel knew what he did, but Moses knew why he did it. Moses understood the ways of God. He didn't just see the acts of God. He knew the ways of God. So my question for all of you in this room is, do you want a relationship based on thou shalt not, or principles that allow you to go deeper? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you must not have any other God but me. And Isaiah 45, 5 declares it, I am the Lord. There is no other God. There is no other God. There is no other way. There's no other answer. There's no solution. There is no other way. You have to put him first. God puts a lot of emphasis in the Bible on firsts. Firsts are really important. We see that in the Promised Land, when the Israelites actually got to go into the Promised Land, the first city they came across to conquer was Jericho. And what did God declare? He said, "This is my city, the first. All the silver, all the gold belongs to me, every single bit of it, the first one." Do you all understand? They said, yes, one guy didn't. You can read that story. Then what does he say? Offspring. He is big on offspring. The firstborn. That is important. Harvests, first fruits. See, the problem you read into Genesis with Cain and Abel in chapters 4, you'll see that Cain killed Abel out of jealousy, but Cain was disrespectful to the commands of God. And this was before the covenant. This was before the first covenant. This was before all of the laws, all the commands. This is way before Jesus. This was already established in the very beginning, the first. That's how it's so important for all of us to realize, the first. But you see, Cain brought some. He didn't bring his best. See, some people would interpret the fact that maybe Cain should have got a sheep. Maybe it was a sheep or an animal or something. That's why he messed up. He didn't have a blood sacrifice. No, actually, it was just due to the fact that he brought some. He didn't bring his firsts. He brought some. So in Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 2, it says, "When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift." It was the first, not the sum. The first, the best, the first. It's sad. Some of us in this room, we compromise. Man, I can't give the best. I can't give the first. That's too hard. But you don't realize that's actually a showing of the fact that you don't believe that God will provide for you, that God won't take care of you. You're not putting him first. You have to be first. In 1 Kings chapter 17, yeah, I'm going to Kings because I love it. In 1 Kings, you'll see this beautiful story of a widow and her son. And Elijah approaches this town. And as he approaches this town, he's super thirsty. He's super hungry. And he yells out to this widow and he says, "Hey, will you get me something to drink?" So as she was leaving, he said, "Hey, and would you bring me some bread?" She was gathering sticks at the time. And so she responds back to Elijah and he said, "Hey, I was actually gathering sticks to make the last bit of bread that I had for my son and I, and we were going to eat it, and then we were just going to die, because this was it. You know, it hasn't rained in a while, Elijah, and we don't have anything else." So Elijah says, "No, no, no, for as the Lord," and that's really important, because that's important for all of us to realize that as you read the scriptures, throughout all the scriptures, the Lord says he'll take care of you. The Lord says he'll provide for you. Watch him, Malachi chapter 3. He'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. And so he says to her, he says, "Hey, listen, I want you to go make me some bread. I want you to go make you some bread." Now, isn't that crazy? Because she only had enough for one bread. But he says, "Hey, go out and do this. You make me bread, you make you bread, and then your jars will never go empty until the drought is over." And sure enough, what happened? From that point on, they always had flour, they always had oil, they had everything they needed from that point on. You need to recognize that God can do the same as he did yesterday, he can do it today. He's absolutely the same God, and it's all about a relationship. And we know that it says the name of Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel. When the angels declared it to the shepherds, guess what? Emmanuel, God is with us. It doesn't change. He's still with us. That's why Jesus was sent into the world to be with us and to help us be with him in heaven. Because I have never read a contradictory scripture in all of the Bible that says anything other. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." There is nothing more. There is nothing more out of the scriptures. I can't read anymore. I can't find something else that contradicts it. All I keep reading is how God just wants a relationship with us. And if you put something before him, guess what? It destroys it. It just destroys the relationship that you can have with him. You've put something more important than him. And there is nothing more important than him. When you put him first, it changes your whole trajectory. Everything you do, everything you put your hands to, it changes everything. That relationship becomes solid. It becomes understood. God is first. And God will begin to pour out in your life. God will begin to pour wisdom into your brain, favor, doors that need to be open and doors that need to be closed. He's going to present opportunity like you've never had before. And it's all a choice of leaning into a relationship. Why did Enoch in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, why did he get taken away? Because God just loved being with him. They had such a mutual relationship of friendship. God loved walking with Enoch. And he just said, forget all this. Enoch, just come right now. I just want to hang out with you. Come on. God wants that relationship. He wants that with all of us in this room. You determine the depth of that relationship. You determine it. Not this guy. Don't you put that on me. People get all mad at pastors. I hear it. I hear that. Oh, man, do I hear it? Oh, I hear it all the time. I don't go to that church no more. And I go, why don't you go to that church no more? Because that pastor. And I'm like, oh, man, you put way too much on us. Way too much. Way too much. Let me say it again. Way too much. Way too much. I can fail you in a heartbeat. Oh, man, can I fail you? If I don't look at you right, if I don't talk to you right, if I avoid you by accident, do you hear that? By accident. You think I'm avoiding you on purpose. I'm not avoiding you on purpose. I have a mission. Sometimes I'm not thinking, and I'm thinking about this over here, and I'm going. It happens. People get so hurt. The enemy wants to come in and kill, steal, and destroy. The relationship is on you. It's on you. I'm here to help and to guide and instruct, and I hope that today's message pierces your heart. Band, come on up. I hope that for some moment of an inkling of a moment, you get excited about the word of God. That's my heart. My heart is to say, man, I'm praying when I come into my prayer closet and I pray. I go, God, I pray that this excites people. Lord, that they walk out of this with this message where they go, yes, I got hope. I got hope that tomorrow's a better day. God, I got hope that right now, Lord, I can seek your face. I'm telling you my stories because I can't tell you Larry's stories. I don't know Larry's stories. I tell you my stories because that's what I know. I don't know Jason's stories. I can't speak on Jason's behalf. I got my stories. I got what I know. Now, I got testimonies from some of you, right? Dex, where's Dex at? Is Dex in the house? She just probably went in the back. I was around some parents. This is a hilarious story, by the way. I'm picking up Cohen from an all-night sleepover. I wish Dex was out here. Dex, get out here. And so she's in the nursery, it figures. All right. So Dex, I go up to this group of parents and I say, hey, I'm Cohen's dad. I'm here to pick him up. And they go, oh, yeah, you're the pastor at Trailhead. And I go, yeah, I am. And they go, oh, I was the band teacher for Damaris. You guys call her Dex. And I said, yeah. I said, you're the band. I said, yeah, Dex is great. She's been coming to our church forever. Yeah, we love Damaris. She's so sweet. She was a great band student. And I go, yeah. I said, she came to our church high the first time. And then everyone in that group just looked at me. I go, yeah, there she is. And I said, yeah. I said, Damaris came to our church high the first time. She broke free from all of that, married a pastor on staff, and she works at the church now. She's awesome. We love her. And you should have seen everyone's face in that group. Like, that is the craziest story. And then I realized it wasn't my story to tell. And that's why it was really crazy. And I go, I'm going to leave now. And see you later. And I thought, that wasn't my story to tell. Even though Dex tells it to everybody, but it was an oddity type of moment to be like, yeah, she came in high one time to church. She broke free from drugs, and now she's awesome. Now everyone in this room also thinks that she's like a drugged out person. She wasn't drugged out then. Dex, you want to tell the story? It's her story. I can't tell it. Becomes awkward. It almost comes across like gossip because I just told her dirt to a group of strangers. But I was so excited about her life change that I was excited that this guy knew her old self and I know her new self. So I was just excited. But when I walked away, I go, that was Dex's story to tell. So that's why I tell you guys, I'm going to tell you my stories. I'm going to tell you my experience to encourage you to have that same relationship, but even greater with God, so that you can tell your stories, that you can be in His presence and say, man, I want to make you known, God. God, I want to make you known to all my friends and all my family and all my coworkers and everywhere I go, anyone I encounter, God, show me. Because why? Because He's knocking at the door and He's saying, hey, just open it. You open it, I want to come in. He never told those Israelites. He never said it. Don't you come up. Moses was standing there. He's like, guys, don't fear. You don't need to fear. He actually wants to remove the sin. What's hard for us is that He wants to remove the sin. That means it's a little dirty. There's a revealing of sorts. It's a hard moment. It's tough. Your flesh has to die. And that's tough for a lot of people. But that's what it takes to say, I'm sorry, God. I repent. I ask you to wash me. Cleanse me, God. I don't want to be this way. This is my old self. I don't want this in my life. I want to be set free from these things. I want to be in your presence. I want to make your presence known in my life. That's what people don't want, though. So they say, I want to have a relationship through you. But you're going to be disappointed. And then you're going to want to turn around and say, I don't like church. I don't like all these people. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Hey, we're a bunch of imperfect people trying to find our way. We've got to walk in grace. We've got to walk in love. For some of you in this room, don't allow that to hinder you to walk with God. Don't allow one of us to hinder you to be in the presence of God. You control the depth of your relationship with Him. You do. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, I thank you for this moment that we have with you, to choose that depth, to lean in, to be in your presence, to make your name known, that it's through you, Lord, that we live and breathe. It's through you that we get to do the beautiful works of the kingdom of God here on this earth. It's through you. God, I thank you, Lord, that in our hearts, Lord, you're quickening us. You're making it clean. You're walking into our lives, and Lord, you are showing us, God, you're showing us what we need to take out, what we need to kill, what we need to sacrifice, what we need to get rid of. God, show us. Show us those things, God. Show us those things. Lord, that we lay them down at your feet. We lay them on the altar when we don't want these things, God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and eyed closed, I ask the question, do you want to know him? If you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior this morning and you don't know him, you've never made him your Lord, or maybe you've been running from God for a real long time. Maybe you knew him as a little kid because your parents introduced you to him. It's time for you to make that decision. I want to make him known in my life. I want a relationship with him. If that's you this morning, I want you to be honest with man, honest with God, honest with yourself. When I count to three, I'd love for you just to raise your hand right where you are. You can put it right back down. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that in this house, your name is made known. Lord, and just as Joshua declares that as for me and my house, we will declare the Lord, Lord, so does this house. We declare you as Lord over our lives. Lord, we pray that anyone in this room that raised their hand or wanted to raise their hand, God, that we declare it over our lives. You are Lord. Lord, we repent and ask for forgiveness. Lord, we repent of our old ways. Lord, we drop those down and we pick up your mantle. We lock arms with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, in knowing, Lord, that we are a part of your kingdom, that we are sons and daughters of the Lord Most High, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you, Lord, that you want to be with us, that you love us, that you want to walk with us. God, I thank you for this, God. I thank you. Lord, you call us out. Lord, you call us out to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, that anyone in this room that is making that decision today, Lord, that they walk in it in boldness, that they don't walk in it in a shameful manner, that they allow the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord, that they stand up with boldness to declare that you are Lord over their lives. Lord, we thank you for it. We worship you, Lord Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've got 2 minutes. I feel like we do. I like for us to worship in this house for 2 minutes. As we worship, I'm going to ask Kelly and Philip and Katie, and my wife, I'm going to ask that if you need prayer for something, a breakthrough, for the next 2 minutes, come up and let's get some pray, get prayer for it, and let it all go. Let it go. Let's worship him this morning, okay? If you need something at all, make that happen. If you made the decision that Jesus is Lord over your life, then we have a room back here, my left, your right, this back corner. It's our prayer room. We've got some altar care workers that will be back there. We've got Bibles and literature, anything you need, we've got it. So we would encourage you to go back there, okay? So just for the next few minutes before we dismiss, no one leave this house. Come on, stick in here, stick around. We're going to worship God for a few minutes, all right? So let's make that happen right now.